Now recording. Hello and welcome to the Brothers Geek Podcast. My name is Patrick, Patrick Schmaltz, with my two brothers, Christopher Schmaltz. Hello, Christopher.
Greetings and salutations.
And my other brother, Andrew. Hello, Andrew.
Hello. Happy August. Happy month five of the COVID quarantine.
This is month five?
I think so.
Started in March,
yeah.
Oh, okay, wow. This is both miserable. Going very fast and very slow.
Yeah, time is just it's bananas right now.
I heard an interesting theory, and this is kind of unrelated to geeky things. We're brothers, we're geeks, we talk about geeky things. But the idea of we're not forming new memories, like it's all sort of like in our... Like, there's no, like, substantial markers because we're seeing the same, like, environments all the time. You're not going and doing, like, fun adventures with your family. You're not going to the beach. Well, you shouldn't be going to the beach. You know, that those kind of things. Like, that's why it feels like time is kind of, like, slowed, but also taking forever. What do you guys think about that? Does that sound right?
What subreddit did you read this on?
No. It came up in a conversation with a friend. I'm actually like secondhand quoting something that somebody had read. So
I suppose it's an interesting theory in terms of
right.
the human understanding of time. I mean, time Didn't Einstein postulate that time was a constant?
Time is an arrow.
Time is an arrow. But it's there's like a universal like gravity.
No, and Einstein in fact said the opposite. Time
Did
is
he?
Relative.
Ah, yeah, okay.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. Is like because of our minds. Well,
isn't the image
about
of...
our states like our state of being and not forming like. Long-term, long memories.
Well, that's the whole point. So
markers in time that we are. It feels the same every day, but also very like it's moving quickly. You know,
isn't the most simple idea of like the most simple idea of relativity, as I'm understanding it. This is a metaphor I saw in a movie.
We are not scientists. We are geeks.
Oh no, well we know some things.
Yeah.
So, but if like if someone was on, if there was a clock on a train and the train moved away from you at the speed of light, that clock would appear not to change at all from your perspective. So relative to where you are and how the train is moving away from you at the speed of light, it would not appear to change because
to the person on the train.
No, the person on the train passage of time is relative to how they're experiencing it or their speed, I guess. I don't know. It's all really complicated.
Well, what was that movie that...
Nice,
okay.
Nice try, Andrew.
Nice
but
try,
wasn't
Andrew.
That about... Wasn't that... But
well,
that, it's,
well, there's,
the idea
there's,
of relativity.
There's
relative to where you are.
Just go read General Relativity.
I'm not
going to
fucking read
General
Relativity. Read General Relativity.
Okay.
I have, actually.
Why the fuck would you read General Relativity?
Because Chris is awesome, that's why. Because
it's interesting.
It's not interesting. What possible purpose could you just to feel smarter than other people that you talk to?
Well,
yeah, he's smarter than
you.
That's where I put me. No, he's not smarter than me. He
it's
feels
not to
smarter than me.
Feel
that's
smarter
why.
Than you. It's definitely not to feel smarter than you, dude.
It's to be smarter than me? That's not the case.
It's just a validation that I am.
It's not at all the case. That's not at all the case. You just have read.
Okay, here's the thing.
You've read different shit than I have.
Can I just offer you a suggestion, Andrew? You don't have to read original Einstein. That's not what I was saying.
Okay.
I haven't read original Einstein.
Okay.
What I have read is multiple scientists who have written books that helpfully describe the theories of general relativity and special relativity, including Stephen Hawking. Who is a Einstein level?
The history
right?
of time is or supposed to be like really good.
Is that what's
brief
called?
History of time. Yeah, yeah, sounds right.
Yeah.
The other author that's very useful in this context is Brian Greene.
Mm.
He has multiple books that speak to and talk about theories of time, general relativity. cosmology, shit like that. So I offer that to Andrew and other listeners to read a little bit outside of your comfort zone and learn more about it.
You don't know anything about my comfort zone, okay? You don't know me.
I know.
You don't know my comfort zone.
I know Andrew's comfort zone.
Andrew, you are speaking from a place of, sounds like you're a little defensive there, dude.
You know what? I'll defend myself too when I'm being attacked.
That's a dumb person's response to being uneducated, Andrew.
I just got called uneducated on my own podcast. My own podcast.
Well, you're not a dumb person, Andrew. We know
you're not a dumb person, Andrew.
I think I'm being called dumb, but whatever.
We just want better for you. That's all.
Well, yeah, I'm so glad that you both want better for me. That makes me feel
hold on. I have a question to stay on topic here. I always used to confuse like relativity and special relativity. Do you understand that, Christopher? Like, it never really like clicked for me.
Yeah, what's the difference?
One is related to gravity.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm forgetting which is which.
Yeah, I always confuse these two.
One is related to gravity. The other one is related to the speed of light, and that matter and energy are equal. E equals MC squared. And I can't remember if that's general relativity or special relativity.
Well, that was Einstein's like essential whatever. E equals MC squared, right?
Yeah.
Wasn't that correct. Einstein?
Yeah. That's the centerpiece of, think, special relativity. But again, I'm guessing. I'll look it up while we talk.
Okay.
Now
Chris has to have his need to know satiated.
So this is episode number 144. We're recording this on August 1st, like Andrew said. This is a good catch up. This is just what we're watching, what we're playing, I would like to speak about something, but I do not want to. What's that?
General anymore? Relativity.
It's
general
relativity. Not August 1st.
It's August.
General
2nd?
Relativity.
Yeah.
Shit.
General relativity deals with gravity.
Okay.
And special relativity deals with inertial frames, the things that you were talking about, Andrew. The closer you approach the speed of light, the slower time moves for you.
The great movie that really talks about this for a brief moment actually is Contact. She's talking with Matthew McConaughey about how she's traveling to this star system and he's basically saying goodbye to her forever because they are thinking that she's going to go into the spaceship. And then she even says like you're 40 years are going to pass before you return.
Yeah, like you'll experience like 3 or 4 years and like 50 years will pass.
Yeah, and when I was a kid watching Contact Contact is, debatably good or bad. I like parts of it. But
parts of Contact too.
Yeah, I like parts of Contact. It's not a perfect movie by any means, but when I was a kid and watching that, I was like, what? What? Like, that was the first time I'd heard of that. And like, it was really interesting to like try to wrap my head around that, and then studying, science and physics later.
Stephen Hawking's books are particularly excellent, especially his. I have two that are they have excellent illustrations. His theories. He really did tons of research into black holes, but all of this relativity and Einstein's theories are all proven, and Hawking sort of added to. In his research related to black holes, but those books provide a great primer to all of these theories.
Very cool stuff. I'd like to continue this conversation about time travel because I have been watching the show Dark. I have only finished season one of Dark.
I'm three episodes in to season one. I restarted it. Yep.
I have not watched it. Hannah had watched season one. They just dropped season three recently.
Not watched this show at all. I don't even know if I've heard of it.
It's a the reason why it's kind of like
German,
like it's a German show. It's subtitles. You could watch it, I guess, with dubbing if you.
But why would you?
But why would you? But I think that's part of the reason people haven't like watched it or thought it was. But this is like this show is like very very good. This is like Stranger Things Lost good.
Oh yeah, okay.
It's very broody.
Very, but also complex and
very
interesting.
Complex. Yeah,
and seems to be dealing with some time travel stuff that is
definitely
coherent.
Does.
Yeah, yes, but also complicated.
Very, very complicated.
Boil down the title for me. Where does the title come from?
I don't really know. Like it's sort of just like,
yeah, they haven't explained that yet.
Dark. It just is. It kind of.
I'm sure it will be revealed.
It's. I don't really know why. It's kind of a simple title, honestly.
Funny that you bring up Stranger Things because Stranger Things doesn't really give you an insight into what the show's about, at all.
Right.
It's just
right.
You know, it kind of gives you an idea that this is going to be a weird show about weird things, but that's it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, have you ever heard that term before, Stranger Things, in referring to anything?
No.
And, I mean, it doesn't have a context for me. It's a wonderful title.
Right.
And we love the show for many reasons, but yeah, I think you guys just watched Cursed, right? Did you guys finish season one of Cursed?
No,
yep.
Like part of my thing was too is I started Cursed. I got partway through episode 2 of Cursed. I was texting you guys while I was watching episode 1, and it was like I really was struggling with episode 1. I didn't give a shit about any of the characters. I didn't give a shit about the story. I don't like that they threw a spoiler for episode 1, but I didn't like that they threw Arthur just willy-nilly into the story. I think that it should be because this is like if you're not like from I'm not like a Arthurian legend scholar or anything, but like this is the story of the Lady of the Lake who gives the sword Excalibur to Arthur in the legend. I've seen enough like, you know, Camelot and First Knight what was the one Excalibur, the movie from the 80s. I've seen all those movies, you know. I've read enough Arthurian legend. I watched Merlin. So it's sort of like
watched King Arthur the Guy Ritchie version, which
I've watched
highly underrated film.
I
oh my
agree
god,
with that.
Highly
I love,
underrated.
I
it
love
is,
King Arthur, Legend of
film.
The Sword.
It is a solid film. You guys need I'm encouraging our listeners to watch King Arthur.
With
it
an
is,
open mind.
Yeah,
keep an
watch
open mind.
With Charlie Hunnam.
Yeah.
It is fun and does its I mean it really makes it makes some choices that I mean
also
self-conscious choices to be different from other Arthur movies.
Yes.
But and not that not everything works, but it's an interesting fun movie.
He took risks. Some of them work, some of them don't, and I like that he took the risk though. I like
it's not just
like a boilerplate Arthur movie.
And like Cursed does that as well. It takes a different idea at the Arthur legend, which almost I think it's Arthur the Arthur legend is like Batman. It's like Superman. It's like people know the story even if they haven't read it or because it's just
they're
part of the
it's
an like Robin Hood even. It's like you
it's,
know
it's
that
it's part of the cultural zeitgeist. You know, it's just in your brain.
Yeah. So but what I was kind of driving at is Cursed really doesn't give you an idea at all what the show's about, like by the title.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
just you have to kind of investigate and you know, the idea being that the sword itself is a curse, I guess. Or she's cursed or everybody's cursed.
I got the feeling that she feels like she's cursed. It's sort of like this idea of like she doesn't like the power, like a reluctant hero. Oh my god, what a great.
Well, I mean, that's a
tropey as hell.
Thing. It's tropey as hell. Christopher, did you think that was kind of the idea of the title is that she's cursed or that the sword is a curse? Okay.
Well, there's multiple layers to it, but it's way on the nose.
Yeah.
And she's cursed. The sword is a curse.
Great gift in the Discord, by the way.
It's muddled as hell. I regret watching the season.
Really? You regret watching it? Wow. Yep.
It annoyed me.
My significant other
will disagree with you vehemently. She enjoyed it very much.
It annoyed me greatly.
Why should I keep watching? But Chris is saying I should not.
I should not.
Wow.
Can you tell me in like non-spoiler terms why you feel this way, or is it tough to say?
Very little happens that supports character development. And in the context of the overarching mythos that is trying to sort of have a say about or be a prequel to or in any way sort of offer an alternative take, it is a big meh.
Oh, wow. And I feel like there's so much content out there right now that like if you're making a meh, like I don't need to watch that. I don't need to waste my time with a meh.
I suggest watching it if only to sort of be able to speak intelligently about it when people bring it up and offer your opinions, because I'm all about consumption of various forms of art in all mediums. I love it. I think it's part of the human endeavor, and I would not discourage anyone to not watch it. So I take that back.
What?
Okay.
I'm saying for myself, I regret watching season one.
Okay. Right. I'm going to offer this just because I think we've become spoiled, and what I bumped on, and I don't necessarily disagree with anything Chris is saying. We have been so spoiled with fantasy, like high fantasy series of late, Game of Thrones, Witcher, extraordinary production qualities, A-list talent, awesome action, awesome effects. Cursed legitimately feels a little bit like Xena Warrior Princess.
Low rent.
In terms of it's a little low rent. Like they didn't have Witcher level money. And it's like there are parts of it that I think in terms of production are great, but then you're like,
yeah, okay, the production values are solid.
For whatever reason, I wanted like Henry Cavill level fight scenes. I wanted dragons.
Well,
they don't have that.
And that's B, true. any CGI that they do is kind of B, C plus.
Yeah. Those wolves at the beginning of episode two look like trash.
That's why I say C plus in today's day and age.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we've been spoiled with effort. Fantasy. Cinematic television over the past decade, and I think that if you can't bring it to the A level, you're gonna miss out on the fact that
the best CG. Here's the problem with the show is that the best CG I saw was the CG of the tiny spider crawling across an eyeball.
Yeah.
Oh, that happens.
Yes. That's not a it's not a pleasant moment.
It's not a pleasant moment. It is hella good. Sort of image
cringe stuff, yeah.
Cringe worthy. that's the best.
From the TV watching it, yeah, it's rough.
Yeah, you definitely. It's a quite the scene.
Yeah,
but it's you know that again. They did very little with what should have been. I think I tweeted this out, and my comment on this show is: I absolutely. Knowing, having been exposed to, watched all the things, read the tales, all of that. I've done all of that, right? I absolutely would just love a Lady of the Lake prequel. Like, real. Well,
that's
like, how does she have the sword in the lake? How does she get to that point?
Well, that's the texture that you and I started talking about is like, yeah. And I hate to bring this up because we rip on this show a lot, but like this felt very Gotham-esque, where it's like you're telling this alternate story of this cool thing that you already know, but a different perspective. And it's like,
right.
Cool, let's tell the legend of the Lady of the Lake. And that's why it was sad that Arthur was included. It was like, no, like this isn't his story. This should be her story.
Right.
And focus on and like I even asked you, Christopher, because like I said I'm not like a scholar, but I felt like the Lady of the Lake stuff happened way before Arthur was like alive. Like he was
this like, is a total like a this play is before on he's like, it's a even, reimagining it's not yes. a it's yeah. a it's like a reimagining of these sort of fantasy tale, right? It is not in any way and doesn't purport to be prequel of the main story that everybody sort of is in, sort of the social collective memory of what King Arthur is and the Knights of the Round Table, right? It is a completely alternate universe take. It is in no way does it want to be and intend to be, I don't think it's great. I don't think it works in terms of the story.
Do you guys have a favorite version of the Arthur legend?
What?
Do you have a favorite version of the Arthur legend?
I mean,
honestly, for me, Sword in the Stone comes to mind. The Disney
Sword in the Stone is a great one. Very cool.
Yeah, the Disney take on it, but that's very much a Disney take.
So
I haven't read it in a long time, and I'm going to be reading it. But Once in Future King,
is that by T.H. White?
T.H. White. Yep. Yeah.
I don't think I ever read the Thomas Mallory English.
Yeah.
I may have read part of it in college as part of a class that I took, but I don't remember.
Yeah.
I read a version of
Sir Gawain and the Green Knight. I think I read a version of it. I may have read the Mallory version of that.
I mean, it's not a great movie, and I remember it being kind of boring because it's overly long, but Excalibur, I grew up with Excalibur, and the music in that that's the first
Stewart.
Time you hear
Patrick
like
Stewart's in that. So
Patrick Stewart's in that.
It's a very weird movie.
William Neeson's first movies was he plays a knight of the round table who fights Lancelot. He accuses Guinevere of being unfaithful to Arthur. And then Lancelot defends Guinevere's honor because Arthur can't, for whatever reason, he can't, you know, fight one of his own knights. So, yeah, but that was one of Liam Neeson's first movies. And
crazy.
Yeah, Patrick Stewart was in that movie, and he was in Dune, too. Who did he play in Dune? Did he play Gurney Halleck?
He plays Gurney Halleck.
Yeah.
Is that who Jason Momoa is going to play in The Villeneuve? Yes. Oh my God.
Jason Momoa. We're going from Patrick Stewart to Jason Momoa. It's his birthday yesterday, by the way. Happy birthday, Jason Momoa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw that. Happy birthday.
Yeah.
He wins the Not Ugly Award for the day.
Jason Momoa gets Not Ugly Award.
He gets the Not Ugly. And Patrick Stewart does because he's a very attractive older fellow.
He's a very attractive man. He's looked famous for like 50 years.
Yeah.
He's been bald since he was like late 30s, like completely egg bald. And he has looked, if you look at him in Dune and you look at him in Picard,
he looks the same.
He looks the same. Exactly the same.
You're bringing up like my favorites of the Arthurian legend, Andrew. It's definitely like you know what I'll actually like touch on for a second is the show Gargoyles from the 90s. To Avalon in season 2 or something.
They pull in Shakespeare because they have the Fae and Titania.
And Macbeth. Macbeth is like a big part of Gargoyles.
The King Arthur actually, he's the sleeping king on Avalon, and they wake him up to fight Oberon.
Yep.
The king of the...
Awesome.
As a
kid who like hadn't read any of these books, I didn't know any of it, and it was so Gargoyles was such a like a deep, interesting layered show. It has Shakespeare and Arthurian legend and all these different like plays and histories. Really, really, really.
The second season, they end up going to different places around the globe, and they have different species of gargoyles based on the mythos of that, like they encounter like Native American spirits when they go to the Pacific Northwest. Like
don't they encounter like an Amazon
they encounter gargoyles and they encounter Japanese gargoyles.
Amazon as in jungle or Amazon as in
Amazon image? Jungle, and they're like it's like a serpent gargoyle. It's like this weird like Chimera. So
like Aztec kind of Mayan kind of stuff.
Central American
kind of
Central American.
It's on Disney Plus.
It's on Disney Plus. Like that season gets crazy, dude. The first season is like they don't really know what they're doing, I feel like. And it's long. The first season's like 54 episodes because they did they did 5 episodes a week for a season. Like they did every day.
The second season is like 50 episodes also.
Yeah. It's crazy because they did every single day after school. It was like 3:30 every day. Gargoyles.
The Disney afternoon, man. When we
Disney afternoon, it was Rescuers Down Under. It was DuckTales. It was
Rescue Rangers, dude.
It was Rescue Rangers.
Rescue Rangers.
And DuckTales. And it was
Darkwing Duck.
Darkwing Duck. Yeah. Gargoyles. And
God. It was Goof Troop for a while.
Goof Troop. Oh my God. Yeah, dude, that was my childhood.
All of that.
That's childhood.
On Disney Plus.
The Disney and the Batman animated series.
Oh yeah, dude, the original Batman animated series was so good. And anyways, we're getting off.
I have it right here on my desk.
That's a legit. Blu-ray. That's like the greatest Batman
tale
ever.
Yeah, that's as good as Batman gets.
Speaking of Batman, like I hope that all the listeners enjoyed our Batman Begins watch along. I hope that someone listened to it or did
download it, I think.
And it's okay if you didn't.
It's okay if you didn't.
Time.
But we had a great time, and we're going to continue. Next time we're going to watch The Dark Knight. It's going to be amazing. I'm really excited about that one.
A love fest, because we're just going to slobber
the
all
over. The first one's a love fest.
Well,
it's going to be even more so.
But I think that The Dark Knight lends itself to much more of a philosophical conversation because
I agree.
Yeah, you're gonna have to step up your game, Patrick. And
I know.
Andrew especially has to step up his game.
I know. He is the dumbest
smartness,
brother. True.
Smartness. Anyway. You know.
All right. Well. So. What else? Something else to bring up. They dropped the Umbrella Academy.
We started watching that. Susan and I and Kira are watching it. Oh yeah.
Okay. I'm only on episode 3 of season 1, so no spoilers.
Wow.
This is just wow. Yeah, I barely started it. But like honestly, I would say I was kind of meh about season 1. But like watching season 2 and comparing this to even Doom Patrol, which is so much worse, I would say I think they kind of follow in the same vein of like these reluctant hero team that's trying to band together to like for a common purpose of superheroes that it's like Legends of Tomorrow and
see, I think Umbrella Academy is much more interesting than say
much
Doom
more
Patrol.
Interesting. That's what I'm getting at is these characters are so much better.
They're reluctant heroes. They are very flawed human beings with
very
power.
Flawed humans.
But they are family members, and the dynamics are so much more interesting.
Correct.
Real. I enjoy Umbrella Academy for its sort of, again, the reluctant, oh God, I'm so tired of being a powered sort of being kind of bullshit.
Yes.
That it has that in spades, especially with some of the members of the family, right? They're just, oh God, my poor life. And I just,
well, there's characters that are completely
tiresome.
I think that
may be why I react to Curse the way I do. It's like, I'm not enjoying lately. This is a broader statement. I'm not enjoying lately the genre of, oh my God, I have power and life is so hard.
Well, that even goes back to Warrior Nun being the same thing, right?
Seriously, right? It was Warrior like Nun, I had the same kind of reaction.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh my God, the gazing, and oh my God, the angst. Seriously,
I'm gonna try to propose something here, Chris. You should never make that voice again.
No, I think you should do. I think you should do that all the time.
No, I don't want to ever do that again. I'm deeply upset. I'm deeply upset by your whiny
I love
kind
it.
Of child voice right
this
now.
This is your new radio I'm voice.
Triggered. I'm triggered. I'm so triggered.
Oh, I have powers, but life is so hard.
Well, this is what I'll say. This is what I'll say that worked. This is what I'll say it works about the Umbrella Academy is like there's one of the characters that doesn't. I'm blanking on the character. Allison. Allison is a reluctant hero in that she doesn't like her ability. She doesn't want to use it at the beginning of the season because it's only brought her fraught. It's only like made things worse.
It makes her feel bad about herself.
It makes her feel bad about it because she's right. She's very powerful.
See, here's
she can do
this
whatever
is the
she
difference.
Wants. Hold on. Let me finish my point. Let me finish my point.
I'm just being Patrick in this episode
by
interrupting.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I apologize.
Yep.
But like she doesn't want to use her ability, but she's still doing good by contributing to the civil rights movement in the 60s. Spoiler alert, they're in the 60s. But she's still doing things. She's not sitting around moving on with her life like whining. She's just not using her power, but she's still a force for good. And that's an interesting character that is done well. Sorry, Christopher, continue your thought.
I'm building on exactly what you're saying, which is why I think Umbrella Academy is better and more compelling is they love each other.
Yeah.
They are family members. All people, everyone watching the show can relate to their family dynamic, right?
Yeah.
They, in some way, they can relate to it. We have the quirky brother who's a layabout. We have the very sort of stern, powerful brother who feels very responsible, wants to be responsible all the time. We have the super genius brother who is also a pain in the ass, cynic, right?
Mm-hmm.
All of that, but everyone
right now,
everyone loves each other.
I don't understand the metaphor that you're.
It's not about you, Andrew.
Situation.
It's not about you. It's
everything is about me. This is bullshit. I feel like I'm getting described, and it's not entirely accurate.
This is just Andrew being Andrew.
Getting
triggered.
Andrew
was triggered is the name of the episode.
Andrew is triggered. Yep.
I feel like I'm being like painted into a corner here, and I have to.
You are.
The point is that it's not just a and I contrast it with Doom Patrol, which I tried to watch and then I fell off because nobody is likable.
Nobody's likable. No one.
And there's no like engaging dynamic where deep down there's always a moment where you feel like in the Umbrella Academy, these people are really siblings who care about one another truly. They are all damaged, troubled people. When they are confronted with a moment where they have to choose, they're choosing each other. And
that is
communicated through writing, through acting, through tone, style. All of that works for me in Umbrella Academy.
Totally.
Patrol, Curse is the same way. I did not like the characters.
That's what I'm saying.
They're not compelling.
She's not very compelling or likable. Like you don't
angst is not a compelling character.
No.
Characteristic. It's
well,
just not.
Being a reluctant hero is fine, but like having angst like on top of that, where it's just my life sucks. I could do all these great things
I'm so put upon all the time.
Yeah,
it's like, no, you're actually not.
Yeah.
Have some agency.
Yes.
This is the existential side of me. Saying, I don't want to hear any of that shit. If you're so angsty about it.
Yeah.
Anyway, go read The Joy of Sisyphus. You'll understand my reference. If you're so angsty about it.
Yeah.
Life is absurd. We have choices, right?
Right.
And no, the existential side of me says, this is life. Mm-hmm. Live. You have a choice.
You have a choice
to own it, to be what you want to be.
So, like a show that I really like that has the same dynamics that is kind of unrelated to us geeky wise is, have you watched The Great, Christopher, on Hulu?
The what?
The Great.
No.
With, with Dakota Fanning.
No.
Is it Dakota Fanning? No, it's Elle Fanning. Excuse me. So
TNT show where she's like a detective and Victoria.
No. Oh yeah, that's the
Alienist.
Alienist.
Yeah. Great book, by the way. That's based upon a book. That book is fantastic.
Oh really? Okay. Really?
You should read
that. A shot. Yeah. Yes. I got some credits. I got some
Caleb Carr, I think, is the author. That is a phenomenal book.
Yep. But anyways, in the first episode of The Great, she's this optimistic person that's been put into this really shitty situation, and she's realized that it's like a crappy situation. And at the end of the episode, she has a choice to make about like taking her own life to get out of the situation, or like, spoiler alert about history, becoming Catherine the Great and overthrowing her husband. And it's this really like interesting story about telling an optimistic main character who is proactive about fixing the problem, instead of, I just want to run away. I don't want this power. That's the beginning of Cursed. I'm just going to get on a boat and run away from all this because I don't want to face it. I don't like that character. I don't like this person that just wants to run away. Like, that's boring. Like, anyways. So we're ripping on Cursed a little bit. So Umbrella Academy, I'm enjoying it a lot. I can't wait to finish the season. It's really bonkers, though. So
you're on season one?
I'm on season two, episode three of season two.
You were confusing there because.
I'm sorry.
You've seen all of season one.
I've seen all of season one.
And you're now watching season two.
Well, and that's
it
what
just
I
just dropped.
I'm sorry if I wasn't clear about that. It's like season one gets a little weird.
It's
very
weird.
Strange.
And I liked it actually because it was weird. It was totally unique.
Well, that's what I'm saying is, like, I think the Doom Patrol tries to be strange like that. But said, I think you hit the nail on the head is I actually like the characters in Umbrella Academy versus I did not like anybody.
There's edgy for a purpose, and there's edgy just to be different from the normal superhero show and or whatever comic. And that is done. Right.
Yeah.
You got to have a purpose. Beyond just be edgy and different. I'm done with
that. Well, and then like The Boys, I mean, this is sort of like the other side of the coin of this conversation is like The Boys, you are rooting for characters. Like, it's a very dark superhero show, but you're rooting for the characters to succeed.
The non-power group is compelling, interesting. Yes. You are fans of them. That's the difference, right? And you're appalled by the heroes.
So
all of that works for me. So
correct. Does anybody have any other like shows or things that they're watching that they want to comment on this time?
Andrew?
No, I haven't watched. I didn't watch season one of Umbrella Academy. I haven't watched season two. I never watched Doom Patrol. The most recent thing I watched was Cursed, which.
What is your take on it?
Yeah,
Ashton wanted to watch it, and I was. Sufficiently entertained, I guess, enough. Maybe I think I was feeding on her enthusiasm. She dug it. More her wheelhouse than mine. I didn't particularly... The most compelling character I found for Cursed was Merlin.
Definitely
was
the best part.
I didn't mind so much that Arthur was part of the story. How they kind of like... The reveal of who Lancelot is... There's a Lancelot character, spoiler alert, who they revealed him to be. That felt a little much for me at the end of the series. I don't know. It wasn't great. I don't know. And the season ends on a cliffhanger, big cliffhanger. But I'm not sounding like I'm clamoring for season two. So
yeah, have we known how well this is doing? Are they going to do a season two?
I have it in the top 10. It's in the top 10, right?
Yeah, it's got to be doing well on Netflix.
That's got to be doing well.
I have not heard anything about whether or not season two has been renewed. And that might just be a function of Netflix really hasn't renewed anything because, you know, they don't know when they're going to start shooting anything again. Even though I did hear that because I follow the showrunner on Twitter and I follow Henry Cavill, pre-production on Witcher season two has started and is in full swing. So they should be shooting Witcher season two within the next couple of months, I guess.
Well, and they didn't shoot Witcher season one in the United States, so that's probably like...
Yeah, they shot it in Budapest, I think, or something outside of Budapest, and you're close to there. Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, my I'm all for, and I demand, because I think it's all the genre is all the richer for it. I want stories about women set in science fiction and fantasy, written by women, with women as the heroes. Yeah. I want all of that. I crave all of that. All of my reading lately has been sort of toward that, exploring sort of other non-white male authors, right? Fantasy and science fiction authors. And so it has nothing to do with the fact that it's a female character central to it. It is just poorly executed, sort of different alternative universe take on the Arthurian legend. And I get it. All that is Eurocentric, right? And white male centric. And so I'm with everyone who is trying to add something new to all of these genres, because I think we need more of that. I need different perspectives. I want different perspectives. I crave is decent art, right? Good art.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't achieve that, I'm gonna be saying it.
So. Well, and it's interesting. I mean, it's hard to. This is kind of a more kind of like behind the scenes question, but the character of Arthur in Cursed is played by a male person of color.
Yeah.
I mean that, and I mean Arthur is one of the great white, you know, white English characters, him and Robin
Hood. I'm all for alternative casting in the villain.
But what I'm posing is like, did they specifically say, you know what, we're going to cast a person of color as Arthur just for a different look for the character? Do you think that they just found this guy? He happened to be a person.
I think it's lazy because he doesn't. Yeah. There isn't a different or new flavor for his sort of being minority that is changed by, other than he has a different backstory, right? He's a thief and blah blah blah, right?
Yeah.
So there, it doesn't like emerge from the different perspective, other than he grew up poor and orphan and was adopted and all of that. And so that's one refreshing way to do it, is it doesn't matter what you look like.
Yeah.
The universal tales are universal tales, right? Everybody can understand the orphan, adopted.
Yeah.
Hard knocks. We all get that. Everybody can understand that. So
we can.
And there's a different take, which is, what was it like to be a minority growing up? And really, that's the whole point of the show, right? Is the Fae are the minority. They're the stand-in for minorities, right?
Well, I loved it. I love the idea of this part of the Arthur world is like this group of zealots who are hunting down magical people.
I did like the idea of the red paladins as kind of the bad guys, and then part of the original basis of the Arthur legend is like the old pagan world coming direct conflict with the new Christian one. That's been part of the Arthur legend from the beginning. Is modernity actually in the Arthur world is represented by the Catholic Church trying to establish, they're the new power, and the old world of paganism is fading away. Like Merlin's power is fading throughout most of the a common theme of most of the Arthur legends is Merlin is no longer an all powerful being. And he's like, he's trying to like set up a state that he feels can endure because his power is waning in a lot of ways,
right?
Because of Christianity. But Arthur is a Christian.
Rejection of Deus Ex, right? It's that whole idea about human beings, in order to answer questions about that they had about the universe, they said, well, God did it.
Yeah.
Or the gods did it, right? That's human history.
Yeah.
And we're in an age where that's waning and people are trying to figure out sort of what can I do? What can humans do?
Yeah.
There are other explanations versus the Deus Ex bullshit.
Yeah.
Well, wasn't there like a wasn't there like a story? I'm trying to like something in my brain is like tickling that it's like technology is taking over the world, and that's why like gods are losing power. Isn't there like a story?
That's American Gods, dude. That's Neil Gaiman.
That's what it is. Okay,
that's his take on that for sure.
Yeah, there's
it's
a
sort
new...
of like people are worshiping other things, and because they're not
the new gods. The new gods are technology and money. In American Gods, that's exactly the story. The old gods warring against the new gods.
Yep.
Interesting.
The god, you know, there's a god of the internet, shit like that. The god
but again, that's tropey too, because game there are gods, right? There's this whole idea. But again, the Gaiman's point in American Gods is that human beings and their worship and faith is what brings them into being.
I mean, it's a little on the nose. That's what gives you power, you know, is like people giving you worship and thinking about you is what
there's a transaction. It's transactional,
right?
Yeah,
not these guys just existed.
We talked about this. You just tickled in my brain, Christopher. I didn't keep my subscription to Stars. I watched the first season of American Gods on Stars, but I didn't keep up with it. And I liked it. One of the single best episodes of television that I've seen in recent years is the story they tell of the main character's wife and her like different incarnations over the centuries and how like the Irish, how the leprechaun and kind of the Irish tradition came to America and how they tell that through her story over and over is one of the best episodes of TV in recent years. And
I agree.
It was very entertaining television. They told really interesting stories.
I can't recommend that book enough.
Yeah,
over and over again.
It's an interesting book for sure.
Yeah.
Does it have a sequel or a story told in the same world?
No direct sequel. There are other books. Anansi Boys is referenced, but no direct sequel.
Yeah.
That I'm aware of.
And if you really want some challenging, kind of interesting television, just Google the Mr. Nancy speech for American Gods that I forget the actor's name now. I can see his face. He gives a speech and he's this African god and the slaves that are in chains bring him to the new world. And he basically gives a speech in a slave ship. And it's like he can see all of history in the future. And it's the racial anger that he comes up with it's incredible.
It is incredible.
It is. Yeah. And
yeah. Watch that on YouTube. It's incredible.
Yeah. Given the times, just that clip. Yeah. Yep. This, you know, African God being brought to the new world by the slaves that believe in him and he does to try to, how he tries to combat what's happening to them. It's crazy.
Just to comment on something that I said yesterday on Twitter is like, I'm watching Umbrella Academy and one of the main characters is part of the civil rights movement. Like I said, Allison Hargraves, and she is doing a sit-in in a white diner in the 60s
in Dallas,
and a peaceful protest. And this whole, like, it just really started to like, God, like, we really haven't changed in 60 years. Like, nothing has really improved. The cops are still doing this, and like, there's still this ingrained like racism in our country that we can't.
It's no longer illegal for Black people to sit at lunch counters,
right?
So,
but
and it's no longer. Well, I mean, there's still some systemic structure to avoid.
It's just buried. It's just sort of like this buried.
I understand, but there's no more poll tax, dude. There's no more bullshit associated with Jim Crow.
Florida's trying. I mean, there are efforts. Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm just saying, like, it's not an accepted part of the culture anymore. There are active people. There are active movements against it.
I don't want to go. Right. I don't want to go political.
There's a lot of work that remains.
There's just still a lot. I mean, I just don't feel like we've made as many strides as
there's still work to be done for sure.
God, in 60
for sure
years.
For sure it's generational, right? I have hope because I think it's generational. I think that percentage of the population that is raised in a certain way is going to continue to shrink and shrink and shrink and shrink. There will always be some percentage of people who are raised, you know, we're not born with prejudice, right? We're taught it. And I firmly believe that it's going to take probably three more generations, but we'll get there. But there will be a certain percentage of the population that is raised in a household where that is what is taught. And we're going to continue to chip away at it, but our society will evolve and continue to get better because right-thinking people will be in power and be making decisions and voting and doing all those things that are appropriate for us to
podcast where we
and listen to this podcast. That's exactly right.
Three different voices.
Yes.
More voices, adding their chorus to the conversation is better.
Absolutely.
For
absolutely.
Sure. 100%.
So I would like to just comment on I played a little Path of Exile, which is fun. I did fire up Halo 3.
I played
3.
That for a while.
It's great. Path of Exile is a lot of fun. I fired up Halo 3 for the first time I don't even remember the last time I played it. Like, Xbox 360 days.
You're playing a campaign?
I fired up with two of my buddies who we played a long time ago, all together a lot, and we did multiplayer together. We did just some versus stuff, like the three of us running around killing each other for a while and just laughing and having, like, reliving all the stuff. You know what's weird? Is like, you can't sprint in Halo, you know? Like, they didn't have a sprint. Every other shooter now
has a sprint. Yeah.
Has a sprint.
That's so funny.
A sprint and a slide mechanic.
Right. That, a slide.
When I played
movement has changed so much in modern first person shooters since Halo. But Halo 3, I feel like, was one of the greatest first person shooters and multiplayer, like online multiplayer shooters that I played. And I feel like it really changed things because a lot of people try to emulate what they did. And then, I mean, Call of Duty, Modern Warfare, I feel like really changed the game too. But like Halo 3, I played a lot. We played multiplayer online. We played one or two games versus other people. We got our ass kicked because I feel like there are people out there who probably just never stop playing this game.
That's correct. The people who are still playing Halo multiplayer, they've been playing it for 15 years.
We got our ass kicked. And we're good. I feel like the two guys that I play video games with are very good at first-person shooters. Very good shots, very quick. But, I mean, maybe we're just a little rusty at Halo, so maybe that's... And whenever we play, like, online, we do pretty well. I don't think we're, like competitive online gamers, but we're pretty good, I feel like. But we also play the campaign. We played like the first three missions of the campaign, and that's just like a nostalgia fest, man. It looks great. They cleaned it up, so it looks like fantastic. All the guns are fun. The story beats are fun.
We should play as brothers.
I'm
Geek, dude.
So down to play co-op.
Yep.
Little stuff like that is like it's such a great experience. But it's just, I mean, if I was playing like the original, I think it would probably look like poop, but I'm really glad that it's like they cleaned up the graphics enough so it looks better, you know?
It's a remastered version.
It's a remastered version.
The first one is still a little blocky, but
right. But, I bet they only do so much, you know, to improve it. But it looks great.
Yeah, I'm very excited for Halo Infinite. That's a good segue into, I read there, 343 Industries, who is the, you know, developer of Halo Infinite for the Xbox Series X. So still don't know when the Xbox Series X will drop. We still don't know. Halo Infinite will definitely be a launch title. It will be available whenever the Xbox Series X drops. But Halo Infinite will... They'll have a campaign version that you can buy, which will you can pay for that, and you'll play through the campaign. But it was announced within just the last couple days that Halo Infinite multiplayer for the Xbox Series X will be free to play, and played 120 frames per second for the Xbox Series X.
Well,
that made me so excited. I am ready to go full because Halo. I mean,
Have you seen things at 120 frames, Andrew? Like they make people sick sometimes. It looks weird.
I'm just saying it'll be so pushing. Dude, I'm watching. Dude, I have a Halo. I have an Xbox One and it's capped at 30 frames per second or something like that. So I can't wait to play things at a higher resolution. It's gonna be so fun. I can't wait for Halo.
Most
Infinite.
Modern televisions are 60 frames.
Well, I mean, you can get, but people hook up their gaming monitors. There are gaming monitors that can display at 120 frames per second. Yeah.
There's televisions that do that too. But most people turn that stuff off because it looks weird.
They turn it down.
Yeah, it's overwhelming. It's too much
I'm excited just for the announcement that it's going to be free multiplayer, which in my mind, before Call of Duty Warzone, I was not a Battle Royale guy, but I have become, I like the game mode. I'm almost certain, and they haven't announced it they haven't confirmed it, but I'm almost certain Halo Infinite is going to have a Battle Royale mode, which I think will be very interesting to play a Halo.
Really interesting. I think it's really interesting that we've gotten into like this modern gaming time where like their games are free to play, but then they have all this like microtransaction layering to them. I've never purchased into a game like the freemium game. You know,
I've never purchased anything in Warzone. I've never spent any money on it.
Yeah,
I've played probably at this point. Yeah. I've probably paid.
How do they make money? I don't understand.
Because tons of people do.
I don't
buy the battle pass and they unlock everything at the beginning of the battle pass, and then they just
not everything, but
well, I mean, you play for XP too, but you unlock some. You pay at the beginning. I mean,
my philosophy is if I have never sort of on a free to play sort of subscription model or a free to play sort of battle pass model. I never did that before. But my like Path of Exile, I think, was my first instance where if I'm really seeing value out of a game, I'm going to give them money because I want to pay for the entertainment that I'm getting. So,
well, and then
my philosophy has been that way, and I'll continue to do that because if I'm getting lots of value out of it, I need to pay them for all their work.
Well, I will say this. I do pay for like DLC content. I've done that. So it's like I have paid Remnant from the Ashes. I paid for the DLC content. I think I bought the Scion for Path of Exile, which was a character that you can't play unless you buy it. So I have paid, I guess.
Path of Exile model is all cosmetics, right? I mean, everything. Right. Everything you spend money on is cosmetic or DLC, right?
Right. I think mostly or it's not items or but it's like or you could buy like bag space.
And
other stuff like that and like inventory space.
It's not pay to win,
but it just it's just quality of life.
Right.
Payments, you know. And that's like
there's real value in that and that's where they make their money. That's
Which is incredible. The Path
game
of Exile like model
game
is
a service, right?
Yeah. I'm excited for Halo Infinite too. I'm not excited about buying another console. I guess it's been a while since I've purchased one, but like I feel the 360 lasted like 11 years, and how long have we had the Xbox One? Like I feel like we've only had it for like five or six, and then they're already trying to. Yeah. Get us to buy another one, so I'm not too keen on that. I'm always not the first run console guy anyways. Like I usually buy a console after a couple of years after they've ironed out all the mistakes.
My problem is it's going to trigger a cascade. It's going to have ripple effect in my life because I don't have good enough TVs to.
That's the thing.
Realize the Xbox One X. So it's going to trigger a new.
You got to buy a new television. Too. I'm going to have to buy a new projector. You know, it's like I'm going to
have to absolutely buy. I'm getting to the point where I'm going to be like, okay, I'm going to have to buy a Series X and I'm going to have to buy like a kick-ass gaming monitor to play it on.
Well, and your television is fairly new, Andrew, and nice. It looks great.
My television looks great, but it's old. I've had my TV for easily 5+ years, dude.
See, and that's what I'm saying is like your TV looks great.
I have a Pioneer plasma, dude.
Oh, my TV's a plasma? They don't even make them anymore.
They don't make them anymore. I've had my TV for God even longer than that. Longer than that.
I feel like plasma was just not as it wasn't as cost effective to produce.
It was expensive at the time. Yeah, I paid through the nose for that.
I got my
720p, dude. It's not even 1080.
Mine is too. Mine's a 720p.
Dude, and your TV looks great.
Yeah, no, it does. Yeah, it does look great.
My TV looks great too. But if Xbox One X is a 4K, and I need to get a 4K HDR TV, that's the way it is.
I've had this happen.
I'm telling you. I'm announcing on the podcast. It's going to happen.
It's going to happen. I will end up doing it eventually because I always have to get the newer content, newer stuff. But it's sort of like I don't like having to buy things where I know that it's just a new thing. You know, it's like and then it, like you said, the cascading effect. You got to buy the new monitor.
It's not like you have to buy one every 6 months.
Right.
That's years.
Years. Years. You're right.
Years. It's
like, I don't know. I'm just a old man curmudgeon that doesn't like spending.
No. You're making a rational consumer choice. You should approach it that way.
There's nothing wrong with what I'm like.
There's nothing wrong with what you got.
My projector is 1080p. It looks great. I love watching movies on it. And I don't think there's anything wrong with it. My Xbox One looks great. Like, the gaming on there still is fun to play. Games are fun.
100%.
Yeah. Nope. And so like I haven't seen anything for the Xbox One X footage wise that I'm like, that doesn't look much better than what I'm doing, you know? Or it's like, it's not like the difference between a 360 and the One was like a big jump.
The jump
between the One and the X, the new one, is like, I don't see a big enough jump.
It'll be a big jump, dude. It'll be going from 30 frames per second to at least 60 frames per second for everything you're playing. I think it'll be a big jump. You'll be surprised.
And that's something too, is like Xbox is always a little crappier when it comes to hardware compared to the
PS5. The Series X is going to be the most powerful console ever. It's going to be more powerful than the PS5.
Well, and that's always been the PlayStation's selling point. They have better gaming, but the Xbox always has better software. You know, it's like,
We'll see.
That's the console war.
Ashton is a PlayStation person, so whenever the PS5 comes out, she will likely buy a PS5. We will have two gaming setups when we move it together.
She'll play on a PS5, probably,
and I'll play on an Xbox Series.
You're going to convert it to an Xbox because she's going to want to play with you.
Halo's going to be so incredible that she's going to want to play.
Here's what I'll say, and this is my one debate, and gamers hate to hear this, is like the PlayStation is always like the single player person who wants to play alone. And I feel like everybody who I know who has an Xbox wants to play with their friends. Like, nobody has a PS5.
Friends are on. I am bummed out. I've been watching streamers stream Ghost of Tsushima.
Oh yeah,
I am bummed out. That's a PS4 exclusive.
It's a single player, beautiful game. But yeah, like,
I want to play it so bad, but they don't. It's not on Xbox. It bums me out. Because I would play that game so much. It looks so awesome.
There's a handful of games that I would play on PS, but they're all single player. None of them have a multiplayer component. It's all God of War and Ghost of Tsushima and the Uncharted series is amazing.
And Sony pretty much owned Microsoft in this generation of console because PlayStation got far more of the exclusive stuff, right?
Yeah.
Sony was willing to pay for all of that.
Yep.
And so I think Microsoft, there's no question they will have learned from that, and they are not going to let that happen again. I almost guarantee you that there's no way that, you know, remember all the exclusives in Destiny that came out on the PlayStation first, and then 6 months later it was available to Xbox users. There's no way Microsoft is going to let that shit happen again. It's just not going to happen. They're going to pay for those exclusives to drive people to the service. They are just are.
Well, and the Xbox One was sold as a all-around gaming,
that was a real
gaming
mistake.
Entertainment.
It was a home huge entertainment mistake. Thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They were focused on TV and streaming instead of like a gaming console.
I remember us talking about that.
The X-Bone is what they called it.
Exactly. Like,
and
they had to immediately pivot because none of that shit worked. Well,
none of it. So. And that it came with a
Xbox
Kinect.
One.
God, no one uses a Kinect anymore.
Unless you play Just Dance.
I use Kinect for Skype. I mean, that's what I use it for. I use it for Skype, but not gaming.
Yeah. Yeah.
True.
Yeah, man.
Anything else?
No.
Andrew.
Yeah.
Do you have trivias for us?
I do, and it's Halo themed.
Great.
Let's hear it. So there are, in the Halo franchise, there are like 10 plus games in the Halo franchise. What game is the best selling game in the Halo franchise? And bonus points if you tell me how many copies were sold.
Oh my God. I mean, my best guess is going to be Halo 3. And I feel like it's gonna be like 53 million copies. That's my guess.
My guess is Halo 4. And I'm gonna say 45 million.
Okay, you guys overshot the copies sold, and you did not get. The best-selling Halo game is Halo 2.
Oh, shit.
Halo 2 was the launch title for the Xbox 360.
Oh, yeah.
So if you guys think about it that way, everybody was buying an Xbox 360 to play Halo 2.
The first generation of the original Halo. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. And it was 6.3 million copies sold in the U.S.
6.3. That's it?
Yeah.
I feel
According to the Halo Wiki.
Wow.
I mean, sold at $60 a pop.
Yeah, think about it
that
that's
way.
That's a U.S. number.
That's a U.S. number. So 6.3, that's according to the Halo Wiki. Halo 2 is the best-selling Halo game.
Wow.
I was surprised by that. But if you think about it in terms of it was a launch title for the 360.
Uh-huh.
It went. Makes sense. And makes how sense. Groundbreaking Halo 1 was. And Halo 2 had that initial multiplayer that was incredible.
Halo 2, everybody
had the multiplayer
Halo 2,
that everybody loved. Like it was universally acclaimed for how good the multiplayer was.
Dude, update your Master Chief Collection. We need to play today.
Yeah, I'm down. Yeah.
I'll do it. I'll log on and see what can be done.
I will say this happened to me. Fire up your game, your Master Chief Collection, and then it took me a good, I would say, 20 minutes to...
Why did I just say that, Patrick? Fire it up and update it.
No, but it sits there, and you don't know what it's doing, but it's syncing your old Halo games that you've ever played on your account. And I didn't know that. I had to look that up, because it doesn't tell you. But it took 20 minutes, because I played every single Halo game. But it syncs up your account for
anything
all
that's in the cloud,
Yes, all your cloud stuff. So that took a good long time. So definitely fire it up, press the start button, and then let it sit, because that might be a minute.
Awesome.
If you'd like to help Andrew with his trivia, you should email him at kinginthenorth52@gmail.com. You should email the podcast, brothersgeekpodcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, brothers_geek@twitter.com. Brothers Geek Podcast on Facebook. Brothers Geek do stuff on Instagram. Also, Brothers Geek Podcast on YouTube. I'm starting to make YouTube videos of our episodes. They're just audio. Mostly no video component, but you can watch us on YouTube. I'm doing that mostly to get ready for when we have gaming videos to put on there for later dates. But anyways,
like Blood Gulch Snipers Only.
Blood Gulch Snipers Only video that is going to be on there soon. Thank you for listening, everyone.
Wear your frickin' masks.
Statement. Oh, God, hold on. Did it work? No, it didn't. Ah, oh, damn it.
Leave. It says Craig leave.
No, he didn't leave. There. Oh, nope.